His blessings on the day.
Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Psalms 106.
Psalms 106. Psalms 106. That's it. Amen. 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 Psalms 106, verse number 1. Bible says, "Praise ye the Lord. O give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with thy favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory in thy inheritance. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly." As we read these first six verses of Psalms 106, we find the psalmist, the unknown, we don't know who it is, begins to praise his Lord for his mercy and for his goodness, for his blessings. But beginning at the rest of the chapter in verses number 7 through verse 46, it'll chronicle Israel's consistent, constant backsliding. Verse number 7, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." Look at verse 13. "They soon forgat his works." Verse 21, "They forgot God, their Savior, which had done great things in Egypt." You know, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 in the New Testament, all these things pertaining to the children of Israel, particularly in the wilderness, those 40 years where God's leading and God's directing and God's guiding them, they are an example for us tonight. Everything we read in Psalms 106 about their backsliding in verses 7 through verse 46, about their rebellion, about the state that they came to, is for you and I tonight. And we're told to look back, and we're told to grab, and we're told to glean from them and try not to end up in the shape and in the state that they are in. You say, "Preacher, how did Israel wind up so rebellious? How did Israel wind up so disobedient and in a position where they had broken God's commandments? They rebelled against God. God's disappointed them." And according to what we just read, they forgot the goodness of God. They just forgot. They no longer remembered who it was and why it was. They took the blessings of God for granted in their life. And I thought to myself, maybe they thought to themselves, "He's always been here. He's always been good. He'll always be good." And they just got used to the goodness of God and took it for granted. You know, the problem is in our life, I believe we get so used to God's goodness. It's not new to us anymore. It's not special. It's not exciting to us anymore. The things that we used to thank God for, the things we used to beg God for, and God's done and performed so wondrously and so marvelously in our life, we don't even recognize Him for it. Good food, good home, good health, clothes, a good church, Bible preaching, Bible teaching, good singing. They just don't do anything to us anymore. Tonight, for just a few moments, a few thoughts, I want to preach on the thought, harden to the good hand of God. God's children, they've become calloused. They've become hardened to God's good hand and the blessings he's bestowed upon them time and time again. Let me say, not God's been good to me. He's blessed me, but yet so many times I can see that spoiled nature inside me rise up time and time again. And it's as if God is saying, Gunn, how much good stuff have I deposited? How much blessings have I given you in your life? And you don't even recognize me. You don't even thank me for it. You don't even give me the glory for it. You don't even take the time like you used to think and to pause and to pray so many times. Getting used to God's goodness. Harden to the master's good hand. I wonder tonight, how many are you here tonight like me? Perhaps you just don't do the things you used to do. You don't recognize him and his blessings like you used to. Used to, you'd get up early in the morning and just to take time to talk, just to take time to fellowship, just kind of take time with God to pray because you loved him. Used to set aside time, allotted time, specific time, purposeful time to read his word. Let me say tonight, I want to get used to God's goodness. I don't want to get used to his blessings. I don't want to get used to his hand. Israel did. Verse 13, they soon forgot his works. Verse 21, they forgot God, their servant, sir, Savior, which had done great things in Egypt. God's been good to his church. Let's don't take it for granted. Let's not get used to it. Harden to the good hand of God. I see a few things here in our text tonight, some signs, some red flags that you've become hardened to the good master's hand. First thing I see, you begin hardened. You get used to God's hand. You take it for granted when you forget where God brought you from. Verse number 6, the Bible says, we have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers, verse 7, understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies, but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea. What sin? What iniquity have they done so wickedly? They forgot where God had brought them from. Verse 7, they forgot the multitudes of his mercy. 13, forgot his works. 21, forgot their Savior. One of the first ways I believe we can tell we've become used to God's goodness and God's blessings in our life, we forgot where God has brought us from. They didn't remember what it was like to be down in the slime pits in Egypt and be under the taskmasters that used and abused them. They forgot how bad it was to be in a foreign land in chains and bondage. They remembered not the multitudes of thy mercies. Church, don't forget where God brought you from. God, Jesus Christ paid a high price to bring you from where you were at. A price with his own precious blood, reaching way down and pulling you out of that muck and the mire and the sin and the filth you were in and placing you in the family of God. He's been good to us. Multitudes of mercy. Don't ever forget where you were and where you are tonight. Once was lost, but now you're found. Once an orphan and with no home in heaven, but now a child of God headed for a home in heaven. God saved us. Let's sing his gratitude and his praises. But they soon forgot the deliverance from where God had brought them from. It's sad. Church, I believe we've forgotten used to the good blessings of God, his good hand. We find they also got used to God's goodness when you stopped seeking his counsel. That's what Israel did. Look at verse 13. They soon forgot his works. They waited not for his counsel. They started to think, I can do this on my own. We've come out of Egypt. We've crossed the Red Sea. We've walked in the wilderness for these many, many years. So I think I can do this one on my own. But they failed to remember it was God's goodness, God's blessings that brought them to this point in their life. It wasn't their ability, it wasn't their capability, their wisdom, their merit, but the blessings and the goodness of God. A sure sign. It's a sure sign you become hardened to God's good hand when you stop seeking His counsel. Instead of, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, where would you have me to live? Where would you have me to work? What would you have me to do in this situation about in my life? Discernment and wisdom they needed to seek. But they stopped seeking the counsel of God. Let me say tonight, a lack of prayer and seeking God's face is a sure sign you've gotten used to His blessings. Simply taking it for granted. That gospel song, I just wrote it down a moment ago. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord? Since you told Him His heart, your heart's hidden secrets, since you prayed, since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through. They became so used to God's goodness, God always blessing, God helping and providing and leading them, they stopped seeking His counsel. Has God been good to you? Don't forget where He brought you from. Don't forget seeking Him. Don't stop praying. Don't stop looking to Him. But let me say, we come hardened to the Master's good hand when we begin lusting after things we don't have. Look at verse 14. It says, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. 40 years God supplying. 40 years God giving. 40 years God given to His children. But how did they respond? We don't want this manna. We don't want this angel food, this white bread that we have to eat day in and day out over and over. We want something different. The Bible says they lusted exceedingly. They wanted something that they did not have. Do you remember that thing that you begged God and you asked God for, but now you're tired of it? Oh God, I need. Oh God, I desire. Give me, God. Now God's given it and you don't even thank Him for it. Don't even reckon, you're tired of it. Asking God to send you to a good church. A church where the Bible's teached and the Bible's preached. There's good singing. Holy Ghost is welcome. Holy Ghost is present. But yet you want something different. It says they lusted exceedingly. That verb, an adverb, it's the idea of having a great desire, a longing, a yearning, your heart's very desire to receive. Instead of longing and searching and craving and desiring God, that spiritual thing, they were looking for a fleshly desire. Indicates a fleshly carnal want. Let me say tonight, church, God's blessed this church. He's been good to this church. More so spiritually, He's blessed us financially and with material, but more so spiritually. He's graced us with His presence. He's graced us with His power. That should be our earnest desire. I was thinking this morning, I had to teach in Sunday school in Mark chapter 3. Bible says, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day. Jesus goes to the synagogue. He goes to a church house again. And there these Pharisees, the religious leaders, the lost crowd, had an anticipation, they had an expectation that Jesus was going to do something on that day. You know, we need to have that anticipation, that expectation. What is Jesus going to do today? He may have blessed us last Sunday. He may have blessed us last Wednesday night. But what's He going to do in our presence today? I'm grateful for the things He's done, Pastor. Time and time again. You can tell about Him. But I'm looking for the day when He does it again. He saves. He redeems. Our Baptist churches are filled with the power and the glory of God. W.P. Mackey said it right when he penned the words, revive us again, fill each heart with Thy love, and rekindle that fire from above. That was his desire. That was his heart's yearning. That was what he was lusting after. God's not obligated. God's not required. God's not indebted to us. But I pray He does. I pray He blesses again. I pray when he saves again and He helps again and He heals again. They were blessed, but they forgot what God had done for them. And they begin lusting exceedingly after something else. You know, it's sad, those Pharisees, those Herodians in the synagogue that day, they have a greater desire to see what God was going to do than some of us tonight. In anticipation, lusting exceedingly after things that they didn't have. For God had been so good to them. God had blessed them time and time again. And they forgot about their blessings and wanted something else. I think about my buddy, my best friend, my dog, Merle. You know, you can ask my wife and you can ask my kids. What Merle wants, Merle gets. I mean, when he wakes up in the morning, we feed him. When he goes to bed at night, we feed him. If he wants something during the day, all he has to do is come and lay that big snout on our lap and we'll feed him. When he's in the car and riding with me, we'll pass McDonald's and Burger King or some hamburger joint. And then Big Giles will fill up with slobber because he knows he's fixing to eat a hamburger or three. What he wants, he gets. I think we treat him pretty good. But if you leave a bag of trash out, if you leave the lid off the trash can, that's a big mistake. He'll be neck deep in trash. And I begin to think to myself, I love him. I feed him. I treat him good. He gets whatever he wants. But yet he would rather be in that trash than the blessings I have for him. What about you? What's wrong with us? God feeds us. God's blessed us. He gives us time and time and time again, but yet it says God is saying, why are you lusting after the things of the world, after the trash? I've given you the good things. I've given you the good things of God in your life, the blessings of my hand, your heart's very desire, but you keep going lusting exceedingly after that that you don't have. It's a sure sign, church, you become used to the goodness and the blessings and hardened to the hand of God. Could it be tonight we've become hardened to the hand of God? We've become used to his goodness because we're envious of others? Look at verse 16. They envied Moses, also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. Here God's children envied Moses and Aaron. You know what envy is? Envy in the child of God truly is. It's an indictment against God. It's saying, God, you hadn't done me fairly. You haven't treated me fairly. You haven't given me what I truly desire. It's an indictment against God. Lord, I want what they have. Lord, I want to be in that position. I want the blessings you gave Moses. I want the blessings you gave Aaron instead of the blessings you gave me. Instead of saying, as Brother Gary did, I want to thank him for where he's brought me from. I want to thank him for what he's put in my life, for picking me up out of that horrible Mari pit and setting me on the solid rock, for the good things you've given me, Lord. They forgot about the blessings that God gave them. Envious of others. My buddy Merle, I was thinking about him. If he's in the room, I can't hug my wife. I can't show my wife an affection. If he's around, I can't hug my children. He'll begin to jump on my back. He'll bark and he'll bite at me because Merle has to have all the attention. I've been accused of loving him more than I do my wife. And I do. I love my wife more than I love Merle, but I do love Merle. He cannot stand that dog. He cannot stand for the father to give someone else in the family some attention. Begin to think about you and I, church. When our heavenly Father begins to bless and begins to move and begins to answer prayers and begins to help and begins to promote someone in the family of God, whether it's spiritually or whether it's material, instead of rejoicing with them, we become envious. We forget about the blessings he's gave us and we desire their blessings. It's a sure sign we've become hardened to the good hand of God. Instead of rejoicing when they rejoice and weeping when they weep, envious, forgetting about God's blessed hand, hardened to his hand. They become hardened to his hand Perhaps we become hardened to his good hand when they begin worshiping their own possessions. Look at verse number 19. They made a calf in Horeb and worshiped the molten image. Exodus chapter 32. They're leaving. They have left Egypt. And they give gold. Gold earrings. Gold bracelets. Gold necklaces. Gold rings. They give us this gold that they received from coming out of Egypt to Aaron. And there they begin to fashion and form a golden image. Do you know what they were essentially worshiping? They were worshiping the stuff that God gave them. He'd provided this gold. He'd give them this gold. And now in Exodus 32, they're worshiping the very possessions that God gave them. They put their interest, they put their desire, they put their focus on the stuff instead of their Savior, instead of the one that gave it, instead of the one that supplied. Let me say tonight, church, anything can become an idol to us. Anything in our life, anything that those things that become an idol so often are the very things that God has given you. Listen to James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see, then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith alone. Genesis chapter 15, Abraham prays for a son. He has no seed. He has no offspring. He has no son. God hears his prayer. He hears his cry. God gives him a son, a promised child, a miraculous child. God wants Isaac back. And there on Mount Moriah, Abraham said, here he is, Lord. You've blessed me with him. I love him. I love him more than anything, but you've given him. Here he is. Abraham saying, Lord, I love the giver more than the gift. Abraham was called a friend of God. Loved his Savior. I wonder tonight, what is it in our life? What is it God's given you and blessed you with? Something you've asked for and you've begged God for, and yet that's become in front of and an idol before God. Israel was used to God's goodness. They were worshiping their stuff, this molten image, this gold that was fashioned and formed more than they was the Savior. Hardened to his hand, used to his goodness, took his blessings for granted, to the point they didn't even believe his word anymore. Verse 24, yea, they despised the pleasant land. They believe not his word. You know, they heard it so much, time and time again, that you're going to a land that flows with milk and honey. You're headed to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. You're going to a land that's flowing with milk and honey. They heard it so much, yet it didn't faze them. They didn't believe it anymore. Do you realize tonight, church, you can get so used to Bible preaching, Bible teaching, the things of God, that doesn't even motivate you and move you anymore? It doesn't thrill you? You're hardened, you're calloused, used to God's goodness, used to his promises, used to its word. I wonder if we become used to God's goodness, hardened to his blessings that he's given us time and time and time again. He's blessing, and he blesses us time and time again. And what does God's people do? Verse 25, they murmur and complain. Verse 32 and 33, they begin to have strife among the family, strife among themselves, no longer thankful for their brothers and sisters in Christ. They're backbiting, they're arguing. Verses 28 and 29, they begin to commingle. They begin to join with lost people and adopt their ways and inherit their ways. All because they become used to God's hand, the blessings, his grace, calloused, hardened. They've took it for granted. I see it so many times creeping up in my life. Only in many occasions, I take them for granted. The psalmist starts out in Psalms 106. He says, "Praise ye the Lord. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise?" Yet God's children was taking the blessings of God for granted. It didn't move them. It didn't excite them. They were no longer thankful, no longer recognizing, callous to his grace. What should we do about it? Look at the last verse of the psalm. The psalmist ends the chapter by saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. Let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord." I wondered, I said all that to say this tonight, church. Could it be tonight you've become hardened to God's blessings in your life? Took them for granted. Used to his goodness. Like Israel, God's been there. He's always been there. He's blessed me. He'll always bless me. And we find they become rebellious. They become disobedient. All because they become hardened to the good master's hand. Let's stand tonight. Anna Lee, you help me out on the piano. Lord, we want to thank you for your blessings. Lord, so many times in my life as we read and study this chapter of your word, I'm convicted for the blessings you've put in my life. Lord, I've become so used to and so acquainted with your hand and how you've blessed me time and time again. I fail to recognize you. I fail to thank you. I fail to praise you for it. Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, forgive our church. No doubt, Father, you've blessed us, and we thank you for it, and we exalt you for it, and we uplift you for it. But Lord, we may take it for granted. We don't recognize it. God, help us. I love you tonight, Lord. So ever grateful for all you've done for me, salvation most of all. Help me never forget where you brought me from. Lost, but now saved. Lost but now redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We love you, Lord. Help your people hear their prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.